Chumash tells us Esav comes from the field, tired, ayef, and he sees that Yaakov Avinu has this nazir adashim, this lentil soup, and he asks Yaakov, haliteni na min adom adomazeh, to pour him some of this red gruel. And Yaakov Avinu says, I'll do it on condition that you sell me the birthright. And he says, you know, I'm about to die. Lamazeh libechora, why do I need the birthright? And the transaction happens. And the pasuk tells us, we're in 1a, Yaakov said, swear to me as this day, he swore to him, and sold his birthright to Yaakov. Yaakov gave Esav bread and lentil stew, and he ate, and he drank, got up, and left. Thus, vayivez Esav et habechora, Esav spurned the birthright. And the question we need to ask is a question that the Ber Yosef points out in source number 2. The Gemara Bava Batra tells us, chamesh averot avar oto rasha b'oso ayom. There were 5 sins that Esav did that day. Baal norama orsa, he had relations with an engaged woman. Varaget hanefesh, he killed. V'kafar b'ikar, and he denied Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'kafar b'tchias ha-meitim, he denied resurrection. And v'shat et ha-bechora, and he spurned the bechora. Of all of these things, the one that we're mentioning here is Vayivez Esav et ha-bechora. That's the one that's the clincher. That's the one the Chumash mentioned. It would seem that there were some others on that list that seem to be of much greater import. Further, we know that Rashi tells us that why did Esav want the Bechorah? He said that, you know, there's all these halachas involved. Yaakov told him, you know, in being a Kohen, the Bechorah at that time, the eldest, was the one who served God. He says, you know, I'm about to die anyway. I have all these restrictions. It's definitely going to kill me. I'm not interested. Esav responds, I'm going to end up dying because of the service, the asterisks in 3. So what do I need it for? Esav wasn't still worried he was going to die of hunger. He was worried he would die as a result of serving the Beis HaMikdash. This being the case, it's difficult to understand the following pasuk. Yaakov gave Esav the bread, etc., and Esav scorned the birthright. Rashi comments that Torah is testifying to his wickedness. Esav scorned the service of Hashem. In light of Rashi's explanation, a few psukim earlier, it's not clear what Esav did wrong. After all, he had a valid concern that the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash would cause his death. Why should his decision to sell the birthright be considered an act of derision? He was afraid, and he had every right to be afraid. So how do we understand this act of derision? What does it mean, vayivez Esav et ha-bechora? How do we understand the concept of this idea of bazui, of something that is despised? That's what we need to understand. So again, we have the approach that the Ber Yosef himself mentions in Source 5, that the Medrash brings down that not only did Esav, you know, mock, so to speak, the Bechora, he brought a whole crew of his friends, and they were making fun of Yaakov. You're selling the Bechora for lentils. You're giving lentil soup for Bechora. What type of deal is this? And it was the Bizayon of Yaakov and Vinu himself. And that was the aspect that was so despicable, that he's not only making fun of you know, the sale, he's making fun of everything that Yaakov feels is holy. We need to understand this concept of what Bizayon is about. And it's interesting, the Ol Moshe, source number 8, points out that one of the Al-Chaits we have on Yom Kippur is Ni'atzna. And Yesh Mefarshim Ni'atzna is Lashon Bizayon. It's not only enough that we didn't appreciate what we needed to appreciate. We, in a proactive way, went and made fun of them. How terrible Bizayon is. And he notes that just like Chavakuk established the entire Torah on one pinnacle, on one idea of Tzadik Bebunaso Yichya, Tzadik lives by his Amunah, the entire aspect of Esav, Ba Esav Emidan Alachat, Habazui or Mafteh Vereshit Lechol Adidarut Mintisha. If you had to encapsulate what Esav is about, if the whole Yiddishkeit is about Amuna, the whole Esavness of life is about Bizayon. It's about Bizayon. He sees by Haman, a descendant of Esav, who also had Vayivez, had this Bizayon. Vayivez beinav lishloch yad b'Mordechai v'dom. It was despicable for him just to kill Mordechai. The same word, vayivez, is used by Haman. This is the nature of a Rasha. And we'll just mention parenthetically, as the Torah Chesed points out in Source 9, that anyone who, the Klal Yaduhu b'shatz, kol mi shemizalzel b'dover, anyone who makes fun of something, lo yeneh mimenu l'olam, will never gain benefit from it. Baz l'dover yechavela, one who makes fun of something, it will be something he can never gain benefit from. And that's why Esav doesn't have Gan Eden, because he's made fun of all that, which we'll see, that is important, that which is holy. And he brings down with this, we can appreciate the Shulchan Aruch that says, Mishma zalza b'pirei lechem hareza kasher la'anils. One who is very lax with breadcrumbs is prone for poverty, lo aleinu. Why? Because if you're not careful with the breadcrumbs, trying to put them in a bag, to give them to the birds, to deposit, you know, them in a kavodik way. So if you're not going to be careful with the bread that Hashem's given you, then Hashem says, then you'll be starving for bread. So again, it's very important to understand that there is implication, there's verification for that which we are mezalzel and that which we are making fun of. Let's try to understand what the idea of bizayon is. What is this idea of bazui? Vayivez Esav et habechora. I'd like to try to look at this on two levels to understand the concept of vayivez at two levels. And on the first level, we'll see three aspects, three implications of what vayivez is. And then we're going to flip this whole story around and take a look at Esav from a completely different angle. And that'll be the second level, Mirtz Hashem, of vayivez. What's the idea of Mao Geder Shall Be Zion Zeh? That's the question Source 10, Rav Achweigel Zatzal asks in the Sefer Kovet Sichos. And he says, Habeir Hu Lo Hivil Ben Kodesh L'chol HaKol Shavim Beinav. There's no distinction between holy and profane. HaKodesh V'Chol HaKol Echad, everything is one and the same. And he develops this and he says, Habeir Hu, in the second part of 10, Yesod HaBriya Talui B'Chavot. The whole essence of creation is predicated on honor. As it says, Kol anikra v'shmi l'chvodi brati v'sarti v'af asiti. Hashem created the whole world l'chvodo for his honor. Im adam mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu tov v'im lav harem v'atel tachlit abriya. If a person shows honor to Hashem, great. And if not, you are denying, you are eradicating the whole purpose of what creation is about. And this is why we say by Esav, Arishon should be zavat atosha makom, ki arishus hu levazol vatel melakota ta'inyan. It's one thing that you don't want to have the firstborn. I can understand that you're afraid of the consequences. And Mirtz Hashem will talk about it. That's one aspect. But vayivez, to make light of it, to spurn it, to say what is it worth, to make kodesh and chol, the sacred and the profane, on the same level, to degrade that which is holy, that's the worst thing possible. Because it's undermining the whole premise of what this world is about. If you ask somebody, hello, person on the street, Kadosh Baruch Hu created you as a Yid, as a Jew, what is your purpose in this world? Okay, so they may look at you a little bit funny, like, you know, what do you have to drink? The answer, you should then say to them, is you're here to bring Kvod Shamayim, to bring God's presence into this world in a more elevated way, in a more dignified way, to bring the glory of God into this world. And one, he continues the Kohet Sichos, who is unable, l'chabed Hashem, to give honor to Hashem, v'chein lo yayachol l'chabed ha-chaveiro sh'nivra b'tzel melukim, you're not also going to be able to give honor to others who are created in the image of God. And is it any wonder that a person who's lacking with this ability of kavod, of showing honor to that which is holy, that which is special, has a difficulty giving honor to others, and then the slippery slope is not far behind. This is the challenge of Esav. The challenge of Esav Vayivez is the core. It's a lack of understanding, appreciating, and recognizing that which is holy, that which is special in this world, which is ultimately the whole essence of why we were created. Having said this, I'd like to take a look at three aspects, the way this bizayo, the way this was manifested in three aspects. And I'd like to divide up the three as almost before, during, and after, if we can make such a distinction. How does, before, first level, how does a person who doesn't have kavod, who doesn't see the greatness of something, how do they approach something of holiness? What's their attitude? That's the before. How do they look at, you know, they have service to do, how do they approach it? So here the Tavadas, Rav Sternbach, quotes Rav Aaron Kuller, who says, She'esav heimim b'karsh baruch hu. You say Esav believed in God, and that's why he wanted the brachos. Aval b'rishuto lo chafetz klal lidog la'atid. V'cho ritzono haya lano mechaye shah. Esav's problem was, if he looked at anything, his first question was, what will I gain from this now? What I'm interested in is not in the future. At any point in time, what interested him was right now. What will bring me the greatest benefit? Rav Mizrahi, developing this, says the following, source 13. The Ramban notes, Darkam shel Rishayim asher lo yechushu lo yomacha. The Ramban points out on this parsha, on this section, that Rishayim aren't concerned about tomorrow. They're concerned about the here and now. When they see an opportunity, the question isn't, well, what will the effect be in the future? Or is it worth investing now for the future? The question they have themselves is, what pleasure can I gain from the here and now, right now? If Esav would even have thought for a moment about the future, I never would have sold the Bechorah. He's not worried about tomorrow. Esav Arusha Miyad Acharkach Mitcharek V'Zoeik Zakat Dolam Arah. Who but smooth Bachar to Bachora? Later on, he's screaming, "Oh my gosh! I can't believe Yaakov Avinu did this to me. Did this to you? You did it to yourself." And he says, "Kazeh Yagam Paro who Mikabel Makos." Says Rav Mizrahi, "He sees my Paro. Paro gets beat over the head. Hashem Hu Atzadik." And as soon as the Makos are taken away, he goes back to where he was before. Today it's good, today it's comfortable, we'll deal with tomorrow. And this is the great challenge. Rav Baifus and Yalkut Yosef Lekach takes this even deeper, and he says, Ki ein chafetz b'ksilim rak sheyochlu v'yishtu v'yisu, Chasam be'itam v'lo yachushu liyom machar. Quotes the Rabban that the fools are only thinking about today and the present and not tomorrow. Chasam mashimit chashek lahem be'itam. What is it in for me right this minute? Now I can appreciate, he says, why he's called Alkein Karashmo Edom. He's called red based on this food, which is a little bit strange, right? Just because he wanted red food, right? Halitainin, I mean, Adoma, Adoma said he gets the name Edom for all generations. Red? The redneck? And the answer is yes, because Hatseva, Hadom, one answer, Yadua Kimigare Tava. Red is a color that induces desire, right? So be careful what colors you paint your house. They say, in fact, that red and orange are colors that induce the taiva specifically of hunger. And this is why places like McDonald's and other restaurants have their colors and the tableware are red and orange so that people will eat a lot, right? We know that colors influence a person. So he sees the red. The red is a color that induces taiva, right? You ever see the color that's going to, neither have I for that matter, but you read about the bull, right? It's usually a red handkerchief, right? Because red is that passion, is that Ma'orir Taifa. Banatarega mitochi tamu mochleta miyoma machar. That's what he's about. He's about, give me the pleasure of right now. His name is his essence. Edom is Taifa, his desire. It's immediate desire. And that's what he's all about. Shor shachar arosha roeta anatarega veino mitame klau biriatati. This is the challenge of a person who has this aspect of bazui, who's lacking kavod. Kavod, honor, is about being able to step back and say, let's see the whole picture here. Let me see the way I can behave appropriately to give the greatest honor possible. And it may mean that I have to hold back for my own desire. So on a simple level, it may mean that if a great person is coming in, I may have to stand for a while at attention in you know, to show honor to this person. Well, it's not comfortable to stand for a long time. And, you know, I'd rather be sitting and relaxing. But no, to show this honor, right, like standing in, you know, some people stand for Kriyas HaTorah or they stand to Kriyas Shofar. Okay, that shows the honor that I'm with Lifnei Melech. I'm ready to Kabbalah Satorah, I'm ready to stand. I'm ready to do things that are going to forgo my own personal pleasure in order for the honor of God, right? I'm running somewhere, but I have to bench. So I'm going to bench slowly, even though it's taking away from that immediate pleasure of going with my friends to wherever I'm going. I'm ready to hold back. I'm not an Edom. I'm not someone who's red, who's on the fly. I'm ready to curtail the personal pleasure and be able to step back and withhold for the greater honor that's appropriate at this moment. And notes Rav Bifus here in Source 15, Domeh ki lo niten nomar, we're not going to be mistaken if we say, Shelo yador shitchi kama ador shelano, our generation is very superficial. Asher sholeted bo gam hana'at harega, we're both affected very much by immediate gratification, and we're very taken by the color as well, right? The, you know, the glitzier it is, that, you know, there used to be billboards that used to be one dimension. Now there are billboards that are three dimension. And now there are billboards that, you know, you ever have this at night that almost blind you from these very, very bright lights that come at you. So yes, it's something that you're going to look at, but it's something that's attack of very dangerous. This is the way we look, the way he says so great in the arrow. V'adama matsui holech sholel, we go after achare hatseva v'achare harega, after the color, and after the moment. And to give us a practical example that he gives, he says in 16, Leitim krovot lemeiti anu nechshalim ba'adafat schar aveira ba'ovel cheshbon ha'sada bati. Sometimes we fall into this trap. He says, the Yaakov and Esav, which is the way the parsha begins, vayidrotetzu, that are fighting within her, or running within her, literally, is really the Yaakov and Esav in each one of us. So the Yaakov voice that says, you know, you better go to sleep because you have a long day tomorrow. And there Esau says, you know what, I'm enjoying whatever I'm doing now. So I go to sleep a little bit later. Who cares? There's that fight right now. I want to enjoy myself. Tomorrow, then I have to be awake and I have to, that's tomorrow. I'll deal with tomorrow. Right now, I'm having a good time. So it sounds very, you know, slight, very small. However, it can build up and it can have implications. And we know this, that people are saying, you know, like they could spend hours surfing the web. What have they gained? Absolutely nothing. But it's that momentary pleasure. Ah, all the things that they need to get done, all the chesed and the things for the family, etc., which is a more sophisticated, this is what I need to do, this is why I'm here in this world. Ah, but that's not the momentary pleasure. So I put aside what needs to get done, what's the appropriate to get done for the momentary pleasure. And that's the pitfall that we fall into. So that's almost like the before. When I look at the situation, a person who has the mindset of Bazui, of this spurning, this trait, the first aspect of where you see that it doesn't have this feeling of honor, it's despicable. The first place you see it, when it comes in contact with anything of holiness, the first question it asks itself, such a person, is what's in it for me? I'd rather have the momentary pleasure rather than the long term. And whatever will be, but right now let me get the most out of the moment that I can. The second is the during. When we're involved in a Avodas Hashem, notes Rav Ezrachi, Source 17. Ki ilu haya ma'arich kara'ui et avoda et habachora et hakorbanos lo haya omeid shum chishuv bedarko. Had Esav really appreciated what the Kedusha of the Korbanos was about, then nothing would have stopped him. If we take a look back at Source 1b, the art scroll quotes from Moshe Feinstein, where he says, This, however, is no justification. A sincere person must be ready to serve God, even though it may require inconvenience, hardship, or even danger. He must be ready to subject himself to humiliation and attack if necessary. That Asa rejected the birthright because it involved difficulty, therefore is held against him. And this, going back to Rav Mizrachi in the Arrow in 17, V'lelamdecha ki etzam ha'uvda, ki mesugalu Asa, l'chyot u'levater ha'bechora, v'avodat Hashem v'yaves ha'nora. The fact that Asa could say, you know what, yeah, this is holy work for God, but I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in expending effort. I'm not interested in anything that's going to push me beyond myself. That is the greatest vayifes. That's the greatest affront to what Kiddush is all about. A person who's only interested in themselves and doesn't have an ability to see beyond the here and now. So yeah, the avot, that takes work. You got to find the animal, you have to shech the animal, you have to prepare it in a certain way, you have to serve it. You're right, to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the appropriate way, build the mizbeach, it takes effort. If you feel like all that effort isn't worth it, what a vayifes, right? We are your spiritual goals. We're your spiritual ambitions. You know, it reminds me, and this is what Rav Mizrachi says in 18. We are, you know, you take a look at today's generation. Do they have those aspirations of the past? Are we ready to invest as we used to? Just had this comment today. Someone was telling me that a group of 18-year-olds were shown speech in some film clips about basically, you know, not standing by and allowing the world just to fall apart around you, and being able to take leadership and being able to change the world. So one girl's reaction was, I can't worry about changing the world. I have to worry about what am I going to eat for breakfast. That's my concern. Oh my gosh, Asa, here we go. This is the problem. If our generation is about what am I going to eat for breakfast without having that vision, I've been telling you, you have to go out and change the world, but at least have a vision to want to go change the world. And why don't we want to do this? Because, well, many reasons. Because partly is we are not living with this sense of responsibility and accountability that we're here for something greater than ourselves, as well as anything that's going to take effort and work is counter to the Weltanschauung of many of our youth. How's that for a blanket statement? 19. In order to attain a higher level in one's avodas Hashem, must be willing to take a risk. Achieving greater level of spirituality does not happen on its own. It requires effort. If one is not willing to go out on a limb and take some sort of risk, and he obviously feels that Avodas Hashem is not really a worthwhile endeavor, he has in effect scorned the service of Hashem. Rav Lubi continues, this idea comes up later as well, that Yaakov Avinu, we learn, spent 14 years before running away in Yeshiva Chaim Ve'ever. At that time, Yaakov was 63 years old. He's still not married and raised a family. Despite the fact that he was approaching old age, I would say so, he decided to spend another 14 years learning Torah. There are no quote-unquote crash courses in Judaism. Yaakov realized that Avodas Hashem entails expending effort and taking a risk. And if he needed to invest another 14 years in the Savoda, then that is what he would do. The ramifications of this lesson in our daily lives do not have to be as drastic as putting our life on the line or dedicating 14 years of our life to a specific cause. Even dedicating a small portion of our time to learning, davening, or chesed can involve financial costs or other forms of loss. It's a risk and it takes effort, but if you're serious about growing spiritually, you will jump at the opportunity. I'll give you an example of this, of a situation that happened in my class today. I was talking about how before you go to sleep at night, you kiss the mezuzah, and you say the psukim of Hashem Shari, Hashem Tzili, etc. And then I brought down from Rav Gamliel the idea that on Shabbos, there's a shmira from Hashem, you don't need to say these psukim, you say just the pasuk Zohar Yom HaShabbos HaKadshim, remember Shabbos to keep it holy. And then I added as a side note that the next piece in this ketah that I brought from Rav Gamliel, the next line was, and it's nice, some people write, it's nice to have special bedclothes for Shabbos, and not just wear the same, you know, nightgown that you wear for Chol, just like you change your clothes for Shabbos, you change your clothes for the, you change your night clothes as well. Okay, so I brought this down. And then I added that that I know some people who are careful to change their sheets every Shabbos, have special Shabbos garden sheets. They have special sheets for Shabbos. So it was a great reaction. One girl said, "What? You have to schlep and change your sheets for Shabbos? Who would do that?" To which another girl responded, across the room, "We change our tablecloths for Shabbos, so what's the big deal changing sheets?" To which she said, "But sheets take so much effort. Who would want to change your sheets?" And this was like, wow, this is like classic. Yeah, it's going to take effort to... I'm not telling you you have to change your sheets. Don't get me wrong. I'm just explaining that concept here, yeah? This is what I'm talking about. It's going to take you, time it, exactly 5 to 6 minutes, perhaps, to change your sheet. I don't even think that long. And you can't do that for the honor of Shabbos? It's too difficult for you? So the question that comes, like, where are we holding? Are we ready to spend a little bit of extra time in our davening? Are we ready to spend a little bit of extra time in our brachos? Are we ready to spend a little extra money to make our Shabbos a little bit more beautiful, to buy the nicer flowers? Are we ready to move beyond the comfort level? So I'm not calling us an Esav here, chas v'shalom. Okay, maybe I'm intimating that we have certain tendencies. It's about investing, because when you invest, it's a relationship. It's about kavod. It's about sensing the higher level. And I'm ready to push myself to that higher level. And that's why we're here, my friends. The old Moshe, Rav Scheinerman points out, quoting the Dash Torah of Yeruchab and the Arrow in 20. Inyan ze emes b'cho mailo mailo. You know, this is really true of every level. Lufi godol ha-maila, hinei lumatza hafsegat olmo. Depending on what level you reach, the fallout is very great. So, for example, maila sakahuna. To be a kohen, wow, there's a lot of responsibility. On the other hand, when you don't meet up with being a kohen, the effects are that much greater. There is a fallout. V'atel mene b'met ha-sheila, ma'kedai l'adam, ma'shava lo yoter. The question we have to ask ourselves is, where are we holding? Ha-maila v'schara, o'shemipachar ha-noshim v'avadona kuchim ba, yoter shava lo, shelo ye lohen v'lo scharam, lo medushav lo muksa. Like, do we say, you know what, it's not worth the good because the fallout is so great? According to Mesil Shisharim in the fourth parak, he says, there are those fools who say, you know what, I don't need a front row seat in Gan Eden. You know what, let me enjoy this world. I'll keep Torah mitzvot, obviously. So I'm in the back bleachers, you know, that's okay. You know, I still made it into Gan Eden, I'm not in Gehenna. Do I need to be in the front? Do I need to really invest a little bit further in my avodas Hashem? And you take a look at these people and you say, whoa. If I were to tell such a person in this world, you know what? You don't need to be the front honoree. You don't need to sit in the front three rows when the people are being honored. You can sit in the back row. The person would say, well, I'm not so comfortable with that. How do I get to the front three rows? Right? But for Gan Eden, which is Nitzchios, not 70 to 120 years, this is forever. I'm satisfied to sit in the back row. Why aren't we ready to invest in ourselves? What are we missing in terms of this relationship of kavod? In Apitui Ayetzer 21, Bezeba Mitzad Haratzon Bakalata'ol. And he says, really, psychologically, one place it's coming from is we don't want to have this responsibility. We don't want to have this yoke. And he goes on to say that, to a certain degree, many people are jealous of the goyim. They can eat whatever they want. They could say whatever they want. They could dress whatever they want. Are we really jealous of them? Do we not understand that the higher standards that we have in so many areas of our lives mean that we're living a different type of life? Do we appreciate this? Do we have a sense of what is correct or not? And this is one of the challenges that we have. You know, Rav Scheinerman goes on in 21 and 22, and he says, it used to be that you would remind somebody of Yom HaMavet, the day of death, and that would be an impetus for a person to say, you know what? I better get my act together because, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. He says, we've now come to a situation where you tell a person, you know, you're not going to be here forever. They say, oh my gosh, let me consume as many pleasures as I can because if I'm not going to be here forever, so let me get it in while it's good. What has happened to us? Where we have gotten so perverted? Vayivezes avet b'chorah. This is the Nisayon. So my friends, Vayivez, we're defining again, Vachvaygul, it's a lack of kavod. It's treating things that are holy and special and in a light way, in a derogatory way. The before is when I look at a situation, I'm not thinking about what will be tomorrow. I'm not thinking about what will be in the future. I'm thinking about where is the pleasure right now. And I'm focused in on the color, on the seva and the rega, the color and the moment of pleasure. That's where my focus is. On the second level, the during. The during itself, I ask myself when I am encountering a situation where I have to expend effort, I ask myself, is it really worth expending the effort? I just want the easy way out. Who wants to bother having to do all of this service? Who wants to bother changing my sheets, as an example? Just, you know, let me be happy with what I have. And then I'm over Shabbos, I have to change them back. Oh my gosh, another 5 minutes. But, you know, like as if the person's time is so measured. By every second. Okay. This is a challenge that we have. We don't have that vision, that aspiration, that pushing of to move beyond the self, to ask myself, what can I do in whatever ways to make my Shabbos table holier, to make my Avodas Hashem holier? I have those aspirations and I'm ready to invest time, effort, money to be able to live a life of Kedusha, to live a life of Kavod. Who needs all this effort? Who needs the avota? I'm going to die from it. I need to expend effort in something that has so many restrictions. And the answer is yes, because it's important. Yes, because it's holy. Yes, because it brings Kodesh Hamayim into this world. Yes, because that's the essence of who we are. Yes, because if we don't, we are denying the core of why we're here in this world. The difference between a Yaakov personality and an Esav personality. If we've had before, we've had during, there's a third aspect of Vayivez, and that's after. There's a very beautiful insight that the Emek HaParsha brings in 25. And he says that when you take a look at the dimension of time, past, present, and future, there's something about the next step that gives us an indication backwards of what the situation was like. Let me put that in English. We call it the moment after. The moment after is a good determining factor of what just transpired. Here's the example that he gives on one level, 25 and 26. There was a Kohen Gadol that came out of the Beis HaMikdash, and all the people went to greet him. And then Shmaya and Naftali, who were the descendants of Geri, of converts, came out, and when the people saw these two great Talmidei Chachamim, these two great Torah scholars, they left the Kohen Gadol and they went to Shmaya and Naftalia, to which the Kohen Gadol turns to them and says, when the Shmaya and Naftalia came to take leave of the Kohen Gadol, he says to them, Yavou l'shalom b'nei amami, let peace come to the children of the other nations. Basically, he called them in a derogatory way, you know, converts. To which Shmaya and Naftalia responded, Yavol b'shalom b'nei amamim, let there be peace to these converts, to us. Shosi Maisa Aaron, who are involved in doing the holy work of Aaron HaKohen, v'lo yavol b'shalom, and let not peace come to the ben Aaron, the son of Aaron, she'eino osek maase Aaron, who doesn't do the work of Aaron. So the Emek HaParsha explains that really Shmaya and Naftali were cursing this Kohen Gadol. And what were they saying? It wasn't the fact that he just said something derogatory to them. That's already one thing. It was deeper than that. Shmaya and Naftali said to themselves, this Kohen Gadol that they were greeting had just come out hours before from the Kodesh Kedoshim. You would expect that somebody coming out of the holiest place of the year, of the holiest place at the holiest time of the year, would be on such a high level that he couldn't even think of saying something derogatory about a person. If this is what came out of the Kohen Gadol's mouth, you can understand that the whole experience of the Kodesh Kedoshim made very little impact on him. The second story he gives in 27 is a story that we may mention of a few parshiyos ago. It's a story of Yosef Mashiach, who went in to the Beis Hamikdash to take, the Romans said, let a Jew go in first, take whatever you want. He went in and he took the menorah. And they said, is it worthy for you to take a menorah? Go in and take something else. And he refused. He said, it's enough, I angered God once. What happened to him? It made a roshim on him. It made an impression on him. He went into the Beis Hamikdash and he saw, this is the place of Kedusha. Who am I to have done what I've just did? And he felt so terrible about this that he was tortured to death. And he said, let me die this way than anger God a second time. The Beis Hamikdash made an impression on such a great sinner. He understood that I just went through an incredible experience of entering into the Beis Hamikdash itself. He was changed by that experience. Now let's get back to Esav. Esav, as Chazal mentioned, which is our original question, went over 5 Averos that day. He did terrible things that day. That's why Chazal understand, he was tired, not just tired, he was tired from killing, he was tired from all the sins he committed. Why is Vayiveis Esav et Bechorah the worst of them all? So he explains that normally, when a person sins, and major sins like these sins that Esav did, there's some level of guilt that's found there. There's some level of charata, there's some level of saying, I can't believe this. And you're upset about it. And the Lishur brings down from the Vali Musar that if a person sins and there's a kretz, I can't believe I sinned, it's written down in Shemayim, this person sinned with a sigh, and the punishment is much less than if you sinned, it didn't bother you at all. There has to be some level of charata. And here, and this is brought as well in the Kovet Sichos in 24, that you may want to defend Esav and you'll say, you know what, he was starving. You know, when you're starving, you make deals that you regret later. The Pasuk says, he ate, he drank, vayakam, he got up, vayiveis Esav et Bechora. After he ate and drank, after he satiated himself, he still despised the Bechora. Why is this so terrible? This is, he calls the makel patish. This is like the final nail. Esav is showing that everything that he did today had no impact on him. The vayifes is not only in the bechorah. It's on all my actions. I don't have any feelings of remorse or guilt. I don't feel bad for what I've done. At that moment, there's no place for tshuva. If you don't feel bad for anything you've done, if nothing, there's no conscience in with you that's going to say, oh my gosh, how could I have done that? Then how are you ever going to return? How are you going to get closer to God? Vayiveis Esav et Bechorah means that after everything's done, after you've made all the mistakes, you should at least look back and say, ugh, I can't believe I did that. Vayiveis Esav et Bechorah is that he spurned everything. Well, just that parenthetically, if you ask, well, later on, Vayitzak Saka Gedolah Mara, he felt bad. He felt bad that he lost having the brachos. But to really feel bad for losing the Bechorah, no, there was no remorse. He felt bad that he didn't get what he wanted to get. It's like a different feeling bad. There's a beautiful idea Rav Zaitchik brings in Ur Chadash in 29, where he says, sometimes you see that a person is going to act out and be really rude and really be assertive in a very negative way, and they're really acting out of character. And he says, Harehu in the Dan in 29, Lovesh Ga'avut Ve'azut Matif Ekol Haviyato Min Tris Umagein Shal Sakanut Matkifa. It's really an outer show of the unrest found within a person. And that a person who acts in a way that they themselves know is not the way they normally act, they feel so uncomfortable about themselves that they then take it out on taking on a persona for a short time of being someone they're really not. And what happens to them, what overcomes them, this feeling of remorse, like they can't believe they did this, that their whole being is just affected by this. As our friend notes in source number 30, to be sure, there's much guilt that is both unhealthy and unwarranted. But guilt itself is crucial to our spiritual development. Guilt is to the soul what pain is to the body. Pain warns us that something is wrong and must be attended to. And guilt fills the same function with respect to our souls. It alerts us that we're not fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. Another muscle. Guilt is like hunger. If we developed a pill that completely suppressed hunger, eventually we'd starve to death. Similar guilt is the soul's warning that it's being mistreated, that something is amiss. Where guilt is suppressed or swept under the rug, there's no possibility of remedying the underlying injury to the soul. To avoid guilt, we rationalize and make excuses for ourselves. As Shlomo Melech said, God made man straight, and they sought chashbonot rabim, and they sought out all forms of calculations and excuses. This is the challenge that we have, that we have to be able to say, I've done something wrong, own up to it, admit it, and then be able to move on. Esav Vayives, the lack of Kedusha, the lack of Kavod, he wasn't able to, even after the thing happened, before, during, and after, to be able to admit, you know what, I goofed. I had an opportunity for greatness, and I blew it. I had an opportunity to do something good, and I did. Or, I did something bad. I really did something bad. And you know what? I recognize it. The moment after that Esav doesn't have any feelings, the Makeh B'Potish is, he gets up, Vayives Esav et Bechora, with no feeling of remorse whatsoever. That one statement summarizes the entirety of Esav's being, that he doesn't feel bad for anything that he's done. And that is the worst of it all. Because then there's no room for change. It's like a person dying from hunger, lo aleinu. That, my friends, is level one. Just to add in a beautiful, sweet thing that I heard today. I was talking about this parsha with somebody, and they've said that their 3-year-old came home from Gan. They were singing the following song. Esav is hungry, Esav is very hungry, Esav is very hungry. And Yaakov fed him mental soup. So this is perhaps what we're dealing with here, that we're dealing with a mental mindset, a psyche. And this lentil soup is indeed turned into a mental soup. My friends, Bizayon on the first level, lack of kavod before, during, and after. Momentary pleasure, not willing to expend ourselves, and not feeling any remorse after. Let's move completely over into a whole different zone of Esav. And let's paint Esav in a whole different light. All the picture books that you see of Esav with this red hair and, you know, mean looking, knock it out of your lexicon. Esav looks like the greatest of the tzaddikim. In fact, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between him and Yaakov. Listen to this medrash, it's a Yerushalmi in 31. Asin Esav Haras Derech of a Revisable. Asin Esav Nachlus Levim. Asin Esav Harasha Latov Telitov Veleshevim and Sadiqim Gareid and Lassi Lavo. In the future, Esav is going to have a talus around him and he's going to be sitting with the righteous in Gareid. Vakarish Baruch Hu Goro Motzeo Misham and Hashem is going to have to drag him out of there. My timer. This is based on the Pasuk of Avadya Aleph Dalet. Or if I only have one parak. Im tagbia kanesher, if you raise yourself up like an eagle, v'im bein kochavim sin kinecha, and you put your nest among the kochavim, the stars, which is reference to tzaddikim, misham arichanu Hashem, I'm going to have to bring you down. Now this is very interesting. First of all, how does Esav land up in Gan Eden? Two, how come the tzaddikim can't knock him out of Gan Eden? And three, what does it mean that Hashem himself is going to have to drag him out? By the language Goro, to drag him out, it's almost as if Esav is going to be screaming, I belong here, don't drag me out. How do you understand this? Listen closely, my friends. This is the idea we're going to develop. 32. Gam Esav chashav atzmo l'oved Hashem meyira. Esav really believed that he served Hashem at an aspect of awe of fear. L'chein yireh hayal kabel otzmo avodat ha-bechara. That's why he didn't want to take on the firstborn. He was afraid. He was afraid that he was going to mess up. He was afraid he wasn't going to do it right. Shemitot asharot v'onashim tzluyim ra. That there's so much warnings that's connected with it. El shatar mitiyah v'yivetzev ta-bechara. However, the Torah tells us that Esav despised the Bechorah. Umefarish Rashi, Heir HaKatuv Al Risho. The Torah had to testify about his rishos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaYeldei HaMachshavos HaLev, the bracket in 32. Hashem, who knows the mindset of a person. Hu Heir HaRishato Shel Esav. He is the one who can testify on the wickedness of Esav. That really it wasn't coming from the fear of responsibility, but rather from the bizui of the avoda. However, it was so hidden that it was even hidden from, that's right, Esav himself. Rav Dessler brings down from the Arisa that by Esav we describe in our parish in the beginning, Hisai Befib, that food was in his mouth. What does this mean? It says the Arizal, Shenitzotos HaKedusha. There were sparks of holiness that were found in Esau's mouth. You know what the problem was? He never swallowed them. They were just on the outside. They never became part of him. This is in contradistinction at the end of 32 to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is called an Ishtam, and the Targum translates Ishtam as Gavar Shalim, a whole person. Rashi Kilibo came Piv the squiggly in 32. Like his mouth, so to his heart. Piv the Libo shoving. His mouth and heart are equal, which means he was truly who he said he was. Whatever he felt, he lived. He lived. He was parallel to his heart. Esav was living in one dimension in his head and a different dimension in his body. Vatzadikim 33, lo yiyu. This is a much longer essay. I'm just highlighting here. It's worth learning the whole thing, like all that we do. Lo yimasugalim la shichomisha. The tzadikim, the righteous people, aren't going to be able to throw Esav out. Mekevan sharama'ut shebinaguto haita kol kach samui. Because they're not even going to be able to distinguish this level of ramos, this level of trickery. In the outside, he looked like a tzaddik. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu, who knows klayos v'lev, what's inside of a person, he knew the rikavon ayom. He knew the emptiness that was found in him. And he's going to have to take him out. And Esau's going to say, what do you mean? Mipnesha kol chayav, double underline, asterisk 33, this is it. Rima gam et atzmo, he fooled himself. Dmuto nitzayra b'ne atzmo, kemisha medakdek b'mitzvos. Esau appeared in his own mind to medakdek b'mitzvos. How do you take meiser, tithe from the melach, from the tevet, from the soul, from the struah, in an honest way? My father got married at 40, I'll get married at 40. And this is why it's brought down in the Sfarim Squiggly 33 that the head of Esav is buried in Maris HaMachpelah. Maritz Dash Gachal Yonah Laro Lamerzeh. Why do we need to know this? Shemitzad HaRosh, from the point of view of his head, Mitzad HaMoach, Mitzad HaKochar HaSichliim, from the intellectual standpoint, Hayal HaEsav Rosh Kamo Lovos HaKadoshim, his head was on par with the Lovos HaKadoshim. Aval HaLev, but the heart, his Maitzim, Hayal Libo Shal Esav HaRosha, was Esav HaRosha. And so Sugya Sheish Balimud LaDoros, this has implications for all of us. Ad hechan yuchola lagia dakus astira ben amoach v'alev. Many of us, and we'll talk about this right now, live some level of contradiction between what we know is right, what we know what we should do, and who we are. And we actually fool ourselves to think that me, you're talking about me? What are you talking about? And that's the aspect of Esav. The lekach v'alivov, Rav Shor, points out. Hadam machshivat haTorah shelo made. If a person is really going to honor the Torah learning, va'gisha shelo l'Torah b'kedusha v'Torah, and our relationship to Torah has to be with holiness, v'lo kechokhma ba'alma, and not just as another wisdom, as another subject, az yish b'kovach haTorah l'shmiya l'guf, then it can impact the body, v'lochaber haguf v'lo seichel v'lo neshama, and become that one composite type of person. And this is what Esav is about. Esav was somebody whose head and heart were disconnected. This, my friends, is the definition of Basui. The asterisk in 35. Listen closely. The Pasuk says in Kohelet Tet Tet Vav, V'chochmat ha-miskein bezuya. The wisdom of the miskein is bezuya, the word we're using, despicable. And Chazal say on this, who is the miskein? Zezaken, this is an elder, shu yoshe v'doresh u'misakein b'dvarav. This is an elder who's preaching one thing and then perverting what he's preaching. Kick up, for example. Zaken shu yoshe v'doresh lo takiru panim. A judge, an elder person says, don't play favorites, and then he plays favorites. Don't take bribery, and he takes. Don't charge interest, and he charges interest. Haino the bracket, demi sheyesh lo chachma, veino mikayim, harei hu bazui. Wow. The definition of bazui on the second level is somebody who intellectually knows one thing, A, an accident, wholly different way, B, that there's no connection between the head and the heart. This is the V'chochmat HaMiskein B'zuya. This is Esav. Esav thought in his mind he was a grosser tzaddik, because in his head, in that world, he was holding there. However, down here, in the world of the heart, in the world of the action, it didn't reflect what was going on inside of him. Vayivez Esav et Bechora. Dat. Hainu masha habechira shelo gavral sichlo. His desires overcame his sechel. Va'av she'adam ma'alas habechora gavru tavatahu v'machara kol mishum shalaya v'chulto l'rusim taivas gufo. He knew. And you see later on, he's screaming. He knew how important the firstborn is. But he couldn't overcome his desire for the food right now. The mind wasn't able to overcome, to deal with desires of the here and now. Mrs. Pavlova, like Eisenberger, has a very, 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 very long essay that's absolutely fascinating about Esav. I just want, in the few minutes that we have left, to summarize this and take it home into our lives. He says, "Zo kochas hamidat hasheker." This is what sheker is about. 37. Last page, Hadam alula litchesh lemetzius v'lo lerot dvarim kaviyatam, that you're able to distort things and not seeing them the way they are. And this is living a life of hafachach, of being totally, one way, the other way. And the example that he gives, he says, let me explain to you, based on the Chasam Sofer, he says, let me explain to you what really went on with this day of the Bechorah. Esav comes to Yaakov, and he is famished. And he says to Yaakov, I have a halachic problem. I have, since the day I've entered into my das, he says, Ani miyom, the asterisk in 39, omdi al dati lo neti afil misurat avi b'chinam. I've never enjoyed anything for free. This is a chumra of Esav. He says, I've always paid for whatever I've had. I've always given something for whatever I've gotten. My problem is today, I don't have anything to give. And I have this chumrah. My chumrah is that I will not take anything for free. So what am I supposed to do? So Yaakov even says, you know, I have a great idea. You know what? I don't want you to be over, God forbid, on a chumrah, and here you're starving. I have something you can sell me. And that way you're not going to get it for free, and that's the bechorah. Ah, what a great solution. Thank you so much. So you see here that even the sale of the Bechorah is happening. And he develops it much more again, learn the story. Even this, he's selling in a lamdanish way. This is Esav who's not, oh, who needs a Bechorah? This is Esav of, I'm stuck. Yaakov, you're saving me. This way, I'm not going to be over on the anhaga that I've taken upon myself. The problem of Esav 41, Shekola Emma Shalom Haitaim Sheker. The problem was, all of his religiosity, all of his level of truth, was so distorted with lying. Bito Kulo Shava Sheker. Because it was so full of falsehood. Like, because of your chumrah, you're going to sell your bechorah? Huh? This is a distorted vision of where you don't know right from wrong and where you're holding in your life. And this is why Rivka Imenu became so upset when she was told that you had, when she felt this struggling in her. She says it's one thing if a person knows they're bad and they're bad, and they know they're good and they're good. But to live a life of knowing you're bad, of being bad and thinking you're good, then you're not standing on either foot. Then you're not holding anywhere. And that was the problem of Esav. Esav, in his mind, is the biggest tzaddik. It's the greater of all tzaddikim, right? He's holding by the greatest of chumras. He's so careful. And in life, he's murdering. He's doing this craziest thing. He's selling his bechorah. That's the idea of basui. How does this relate to us? So, I'm going to share two examples that Rav Eisenberger shares, and they're written so beautifully. You can look inside. 42 and 43 is example 1. 44 and 45 is example 2. He says, there are people, there are some people who sit Friday night and they are in a different zone. Kach sof Hashem, I'm longing, and they mamish feel a longing for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yom zeh mechuba mikol hayamim, this is the most honorable day, and they're connected to God. At the same time, they're enjoying a great meal, but the meal is just a medium for them to connect to God. On the other hand, there are some people, Lumatzeh, 43 in the arrow, his onik Shabbos is not the singing of the Divrei Torah. His onik Shabbos is the food. Lumana emet ain't a man neged the Shabbos. Truth be told, he's really not honoring the Shabbos. Element neged the tzvo. He's really giving benefit to himself. Mitzad tzvo no mitzvo shum tanug v'inyam k'dushas Shabbos. Technically, you know what? He's so tired and so frustrated from the week, he just wants to get to bed. However, rak biglal hayiladim asher chananu alokim, such a great expression. But because of the children that God has graced him with, or his guest sitting at his table, Muchrechu, he's forced to say a few words of Torah and a few words of Zemiros in order to create a Shabbos environment. What type of person is he? Listen to what he says. Kidarko shel Esav Hashav. This is a world of falsehood. Who are you trying to fool? Is this Shabbos? Is this a gnome of Shabbos? You're in your food. You're in your challenge. You're not, couldn't care less about Kach Sof. Okay, so we're making a very strong black and white, and obviously the people in the middle, but we have to ask ourselves honestly, are we living in a world of intellectually, no, it's Shabbos, I should enjoy Shabbos, but technically speaking, what do I enjoy about Shabbos? Let me eat, let me go to sleep, and who? Okay, so I'll say it to our Torah, because I have to say it to our Torah, you know, my kids have those parsha sheets, you know, there's so the pain in the neck, I have to read all those sheets, okay, I'll just read the sheets, who's next, next? Is that owning Shabbos? What world are we living in? Who are we trying to fool? Second example, he says you're at work. So sometimes you have to act with toughness at work. But that's not who you are. You're a person who's kol kulo committed to honesty, to noam, to ne'imos, to being nice and friendly. Sometimes you have to be tough. Or are you a ruthless person, and you know what, I have to spend some time, you know, pay my dues to shul, so to speak, and show up to Mincha Ma'ariv and the shir in between, and shul's with my, I mean, and learn the Torah with the rabbi. Where are we holding? So perhaps it's a little bit of a charif musar here, my friends, the attitudinal aversion. But we have to ask ourselves, do we have this aversion? Do we live a life of MS? And this is really what we spoke about last week, hamakir mekomo. Know what where you're holding. At least be honest with yourself. At least to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not holding there, but I want to hold there. That's better than saying, well, what are you talking about? And being defensive. Of course, I honor the Shabbos. Of course, me and Asa, what are you talking about? Then a person's ever going to grow. A person's ever going to change. And that's the worst. You're to get to upstairs, and you're to insist on being Gan Eden. And they're going to say, but what type of world are you living in? Who are you fooling? And that's the worst thing when we fool ourselves. My friends, we have to, and this is why the Chumash is here to learn, to grow. Kavod, to be able to put away the momentary pleasures for what's really important. To be able to exert ourselves and invest to be able afterwards to feel that he's Hisarubus after I do a mitzvah, to feel alive, different. And on the other hand, in Aveira, to feel the remorse. On the second level, Bazui is that there's a disconnect between head and body. To be able to be honest with myself, and are we living at certain aspects of our life, perhaps, like in Esav, where there is this disconnect? I know I should be, and however I am, and to be honest with ourselves, or are we like a Yaakov, that we are completely whole, that we're completely honest, and we're living the life that we believe in, we're living that life, and that is the greatest bracha that we can bring ourselves and our family, is to be an ish tam, kilibo v'piv shoving, that our head and our heart, our entire being is one, is connected, and all we want to do is bring Fod Shamayim to this world.